Good afternoon. Today is Friday. Jeez. March the 21st, 74th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. Humboldt Municipal Water District.
Yes.
I'll get it yet. Alderon Laird, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Well, I'm not wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
It's Hawaiian Friday.
Yeah. Kind of always is, I think. this afternoon, we got a couple of different things to kick around. Drought, are we or aren't we? What are the definitions? What is the status that we've got? And what's our general condition? And also, we've talked a couple of different shows in the last year or plus about trying to figure out ways to keep everybody's water bill down, maintain the water contracts here, and maybe make a couple of bucks here and there. So we'll talk about some of the things that they've got up their short sleeves when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Alderon Laird. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Pearl Bailey. Ooh. Boy, I mean, David Brenner dying of old age, that just doesn't feel right, let alone should be allowed. Our quote this afternoon from Pearl: never, never rest contented with any circle of ideas, but always be certain that a wider one is still possible. I think I remember.
Pearls of wisdom.
Yeah, I think I remember her seeing her the Dean Martin celebrity roasts and laughing and, gosh, Glenn Campbell and all those. Well, you're probably not as old as I am. Yeah, I mean, all those cool shows that back when life seemed to be a little bit more simple. We were a little bit more content.
We were younger.
Knock it off. Are we in a drought with all the rains and stuff that we've gotten? Humboldt County specific, not state of California.
I think we are. Last year, we didn't get a lot of rain last year. You know, so the watershed and the soils have dried out, and we're not getting a whole lot of rain this year. I mean, a big pulse of rain in a short period of time doesn't really do the watersheds any good, or the forests, or the streams. So I'd say we're in a drought.
Now, I've heard that there's some snowpack.
Not much in the Alps.
It still didn't stick.
Not enough. I mean, just because we're in a drought doesn't necessarily mean we don't have water. I mean, we do
sure.
have water. We,
sure.
You know, we've built a reservoir to store the water. And so we're in pretty good shape.
That's the concept of these things, right?
Yep, that's why you build storage.
Yeah. does Southern California, I guess it would be Central California also, do they have the infrastructure in place, Alderon, to be able to do what they should? Or are they reliant on us and the lakes and stuff that we have up here, or the aquifer, or the Colorado, to provide them the water that they need?
They're totally dependent on our storage capability up here. I mean, you look at Trinity and Shasta Dam, they're like 1 in 2 million, gallons, acre feet of storage. They don't have reservoirs anywhere near that big in Southern California. And you add in New Maloney's and Don Pedro and, all the other big reservoirs. We have the storage capacity, we have the rainfall. You know, they are trying to build storage down there, and they have actually built a lot of dams down there, and their dams are full, but, you know, they don't hold a million acre feet of water either.
So why don't they have bigger? Is it the environmental pushback against that? Is it lack of planning? Lack of them willing to pay for it? Yeah, I thought it was the most humorous thing in the world. God is thinking along my lines. Yeah, drought. Oh my, we need rain. Rain. Oh no, stop. We were having flooding all over the place, and what I'm hearing is water is being lost from these folks that have built in deserts, and they're not capturing it. And then in 2 weeks, they're going to turn around and say we're in a drought, and they're going to come looking for our water instead of capturing the water that they had the opportunity to, but have chosen, for whatever reason, not to be able to store.
They're trying to do a lot of groundwater recharge in Southern California. Of course, they have polluted groundwater that they're trying to clean up. And Southern California is really leading the way in using recycled water or treated water and putting it back into the ground. So that's their big storage system is underground.
The aquifers?
Yeah, because it doesn't evaporate. You know, and when they plumbed the state, they knew all the water was in the north end of the state, so they put all the reservoirs in the north end to hold the water and then just run it down the rivers and the pipelines when they turned the spigot in Southern California. They didn't need to store it down there.
So from their perspective, the system is working fine. Thank you very much.
No, they forgot one piece in the plumbing in the Bay Delta. They didn't finish the plumbing. So they run the water down the Sacramento into the Bay Delta, and then they pump it out. And I was just reading an article last week where there's so little water coming down the Sacramento that the tidal water from San Francisco Bay is moving up into the Delta, that they're actually damming off some of the slough channels to prevent the salt water getting into East Bay Mud's water intakes. And so it just shows you that if there isn't enough freshwater inflow, you know, that Stockton, Sacramento area would be, you know, a tidal wetland.
And I suppose naturally it would be anyway.
It would be.
So is this a reflection of too much population or a lack of water?
Both. We definitely have way too many people in the wrong part of the state if you're looking at water distribution. And we also are raising a hell of a lot of agricultural products that everybody wants to eat and are valuable in a pretty hot environment. The Central Valley, particularly the San Joaquin and the Tulare Basin, you know, the number of days above 100 degrees in the summer is pretty large.
You going to give up tomatoes and ketchup?
Nope.
No, neither am I.
You know, but they're going to more water-efficient systems, you know, with drips, you know, the thing that they really, whether it was lack of foresight or maybe it was foresight, a lot of the farmers in the San Joaquin Valley, particularly on the west side, switched from raising annual crops like cotton and put in almonds and pistachios, which are trees. And the problem with that is that...
Tough to wear nuts.
If you don't... You can't wear those. But if you don't have one water from one year to the next, you're screwed if you got trees.
It's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good
afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Alderon Laird. Alderon, the concept of water systems, so we talked a little bit about, you know, Southern California and the Central Valley, and the Bay Area certainly too, with East Bay Mud and some of their challenges. What is the technology for water delivery systems? I say that because I know you guys are reinvesting a lot in the infrastructure here, and so you're doing those upgrades. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How much more efficient is today versus when some of these water systems were put into place, either in the farm or in the valley or in the turbines and the systems that at Whiskey Town and Trinity, they're kicking thing in Shasta, they're kicking the water up and over the hill. If those were laid in today, how much better would they be?
Well, based on our experience at our where we pump the water on the Mad River, we put in new laterals in one of the rainy collectors. They're horizontal pipes that are down about 80 feet below the bed of the river.
We can kind of think of our fish tank aquarium sort of scenario.
We put those lines in and those pumps in the 1960s, so they're about 50 plus years old. And the new ones we put in were made out of they're like stainless steel screen tubes. And when they drive those things in, our engineers were amazed at how much more water came through those sieves. And the head inside the collector was so much less that we were able to pump quite a bit more water with less energy, you know, to lift the water up. And the pumps, we're replacing the pumps now in that same collector. We've got, you know, maybe 10% or more water just by replacing the laterals. And now we're changing the pumps, and we'll be able to get more water with the pumps but spend less electricity. So, you know, that puts money in the pocket of our customers if we don't have a higher PG&E bill. So I think the technology today and the computerized systems that manage everything, turn valves off here and turn pumps on over there, is so much more efficient that I think that we probably get by with a lot less water because we have a lot less waste and a lot less energy. Moving water around is one of the largest energy users in California.
So if we took that same technology in the background and applied it to not the source end, but on the user end.
Yeah, efficiency at the use.
Yeah, whether it's the farmers or the ranchers or the dairy or whoever it might happen to be. Are there some of these folks that are out there that are doing a better job of doing a better job?
That's the best way for us to get more water without having to build a new dam or a new pipeline, is to use the water we have more efficiently. Like if we can squeeze 25% more use out of the water, it's like building, you know, a new reservoir with a quarter of a million acre feet of storage. And so it's a lot. If we can use water efficiently, we don't have to build any new facilities. You know, it's water that we already have. And I think that the future with, you know, drought and the attention that it's focusing on California is we have some of the best treatment facilities for cleaning up water after we use it. And all of that water that we develop, run through the pumps and the pipes to get to our customers, we then just turn and run out to the ocean or put it in a river to run out to the ocean after we've cleaned it. We've spent millions or billions of dollars to clean this water, and we should be reusing it. We should be recharging aquifers with it. Then we wouldn't have to be bringing as much water down from Shasta or Trinity. I mean, I think it's just really a waste. And the technology on cleaning the water is very advanced. And I just think that we need to get over that perception, you know, of using recycled water. I mean, there's a lot of ways we could use it, but putting it into the ground and recharging aquifers is one of the best types of reservoirs we could build in California because it doesn't evaporate.
Well, and it does refilter as it goes down, doesn't it? And then it filters as it comes back out.
When you pump it back out, it'll get filtered again. And when you pump it back out, all the water has to go through treatment. We chlorinate everything again, you know. So it's just kind of, I mean, that's a huge volume of water that we could put to better use that we're not doing.
Are there water districts throughout the state that partner with the agriculture community to either show better ways or to figure out better ways to be more efficient?
Yes, I think that our water district belongs to the Association of California Water Agencies, and they have a huge agricultural component of that organization, just looking at more efficient ways to use agricultural water and the timing of releases, the eliminate evaporation, and the way to partner with other users so that you can move water more efficiently. And Southern California has increased the efficiency of using their water so much that over the last decade or two, they've added, you know, several million more people, but they're actually using less water than they did before. And so I think urban users are becoming very efficient with their water, and the agricultural people are seeing they could do the same, you know, and there's a lot of, since the water legislation of 2009, there was a big emphasis on the ag people to really step up on the efficiency of using their water, and they are doing it. I mean, it costs them money, you know, to pump the water, you know, and so if they can use less water, it's more money in their pocket.
Is there any, I hesitate to say legislative push because that just is ugly, but any effort statewide to get everybody with water meters, everybody paying something similar? A couple months ago, I heard on Roger Hedgecock's show, he said everybody in Sacramento pays a flat fee.
Yeah.
$18.28, something like that. A month, boom, that's it. Willits has no meters.
And they don't. And Sacramento doesn't have meters everywhere.
Okay, now wait a minute. And as we're seeing at our end where we got the water, right, what's going on, how can that be?
Well, that 2009 water legislation included in there that all urban water users have to reduce their take by 20% by 2020. And you can't reduce it if you're not measuring it.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Alderon Laird from the Humboldt Municipal Water District. Alderon, before the break, we were talking a little bit about water districts and some of the new technologies and working together and meters and not having meters. It still seems a little goofy to me. It would be like having a PG&E hookup but not having a meter.
Right.
Oh, gee, I'll pay you the $150. Don't worry about it. And then you just, you know, you do whatever it is that you want to do.
Well, you know, meters are expensive, and I think a lot of cities and towns, you know, got used to just running up connections, and it's easier to do a flat rate. You know, they had plenty of water, but in this day and age, you know, with the legislation in 2009, all the urban users in California had to reduce their water consumption by 20% by 2020. And so Sacramento can't prove they've achieved that unless they have meters, so they're putting in meters. And
Well, if you're pulling out of your own pond, I get it. I think everybody gets it.
Yes.
But when you're impacting others, now it's no longer just do inside your jurisdiction. Now everybody's all connected together.
Well, it's hard to ask, you know, one entity to save water when you don't even know how much, you know, a bigger entity like is consuming, you know.
Or if the consumer doesn't have any motivation to do it.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like the early days of recycling. Oh, yeah, okay, sure, you betcha.
Well, that's why we have a tiered rate structure. The more water, you know, a lot of cities do that. The more water you use, the more you pay. It's just like your electrical bill. You know, they have different levels. So if you...
Yeah, I know about that one. That and age. Thanks. Jeez, you know, so far you're really scoring a lot of points around here.
But you know, Sacramento has even started a program where they're paying people to tear up their lawns, so much a square foot. And what they found looking at water consumption in residential areas in California, that almost 50% of the water that we have that goes to houses is used outside the house. And so an easy way to change the amount of water that we're using is not to have, you know, lush green lawns down in, you know, Modesto or Tulare or somewhere, you know, where it's 110 degrees all the time.
You know, well, I would think it would be more practical just to have a couple of trees anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the shade,
yeah,
and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, but they're actually incentivizing.
Yeah, it's a movement that's been growing, and they brought it to Sacramento and just started it. I think some municipalities are paying more than others. You know, it depends how motivated they are. But yeah, that's. I think that there's a lot we can do to use the water that we already have coming to us a lot more efficiently, without having to build another storage facility or run another pipeline. You know. Agriculture, you know, they use 80% of all the developed water in California. So without
this is legal?
legally
agriculture.
Yeah,
right. Because I know you guys.
We're
you got the magic pipes that drop in.
But it's, you know, they can't really, they don't know how much water they're using because, you know, they, until the 2009 legislation, there was no requirement for them to monitor how much water they actually use. And now they have to monitor and submit reports on an annual basis, how much groundwater they're pumping and how much water they're using. And so the next step will be coming up with a target of more efficient use by agricultural producers.
Say that again. What percentage of the state has no idea how much they're using?
Oh, I don't know what percent of the state. What I was saying is the agricultural community was not required to monitor how much water they use until 2009. Now they have to monitor actually how much water they're consuming.
And the other jurisdictions still have, those who don't, have till 15?
No, that's for the urban users. For the urban users, everybody's got to be measuring their water and showing that they reduced the use by 20% by 2020. And with the agricultural community, they just have to start measuring what they're using.
You know, I guess I've been around too long, but I remember in the 70s and the 80s, all this discussion about the need for the peripheral canal, blah, 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 blah. These guys didn't know how much they were using, and they weren't monitoring it, as well as not paying for it, and there was still momentum to put this thing in?
It's pretty amazing. California can't say how much water are we actually consuming on a yearly basis. We know how much.
How stupid is that?
It's pretty dumb in this day and age. I mean, and given all the science and the monitoring capabilities that we have, that we don't know how much of the most valuable commodity we have in California that's becoming more and more scarce. We don't know how much we're using. I mean, how do you manage water on a statewide scale if we don't know how much we're consuming or how much we need? I mean,
how do you manage a budget?
Right.
If you don't know how much money you got coming in or you don't keep track of your budget. And I mean, it's the same thing.
What do you do if you promise people a lot more than you can deliver? You know, then you create an awful lot of conflicts and pressure. That's,
you fold up shop and you go home, right?
Go home, yeah. You know, and one of the biggest problems that we're running into in California is we're losing the snowpack, you know, in the Sierras. And that's our biggest storage reservoir right there. And we can't build enough dams to replace the loss in snowpack.
Did you see an article, two, 3 months ago now, that was indicating historically that California is moving out of an extraordinarily wet cycle into a more normal cycle?
I didn't.
Or whispers.
I remember when I was in college and we were studying, the movement of plants and vegetation up and down the coast, you know, the Pacific Northwest and Southern California, and it oscillates back and forth, you know, 50-100 year periods or cycles. And I remember when we were in school that we were in an exceptionally wet cycle. And we're moving. And you find that with a lot of the dams that were built in the West, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, they based it on a water record that was really wet. And they said, okay, that's how much water we have to deliver going forward. And what we found is we're shifting into a drier cycle, and we're more optimistic than we should have been.
That goes under the heading of whoops.
Whoops, yes.
KINS, News and Information, Times 342. We'll be back with more from Alderon Laird.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information, Times 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Alderon Laird. Alderon, some of the different challenges that are out there, we've talked about the fact that, you know, the spit doesn't have that many, it doesn't have the customers out there that you guys were predicated on, that you'd wanted for, and that there are folks like East Bay Mud, Santa Rosa Water, a bunch of those folks that are really looking for water. Okay, so you got supply, you got demand, just the connection between the two is a little rough. Has there been any movement or any discussion about affordable ways to get water to these folks, affordable so that we don't have to subsidize it, they can pay for it, and they're willing to pay for it?
Well, we've been looking into that. We've been exploring. You know, we looked into tanking the water down to the San Francisco Bay Area, you know, and
I still like the baggies. You know that.
It's like, bags, yeah, okay. Tankers, whatever. It's about twice as expensive as building a desal plant or getting water from a desal plant. And a desal plant's not cheap. You know, that's like $3,000 to $4,000 an acre foot. And it would cost $75,000 to $8,000 an acre foot. So East Bay Mud and all of those folks, you know, they realize that we've got the water, but, you know, they're not chomping at the bit when they can build desal plants or they have other avenues of water.
But how long does it take to build one of those suckers and get it permitted?
It takes a long time. Like they found in San Diego, I think they've been working on it for over 10 years, and they finally have gotten it permitted, you know. But that water
is
$2,000 an acre foot.
So when you call them, you got a big old tumbler of water with some ice in it. You just have it jingling in the background as you're talking on the phone.
A little tease.
Yeah.
And so now we're looking into, you know, the only other way to move water is in pipelines. So we're exploring what possible routes, where are the customers that we would run a pipeline to that could pay for the water? I mean, we want customers, paying customers. And so, you know, we could take the water east and tap into the state water project, or we could run it south and, you know, tap into the, you know, the Sonoma County Marin area. And so there's, you know, we're looking at the feasibility. Our engineers right now are going to work up, you know, what it might cost, you know, how long it would take to do something like that, and how expensive would the water have to be. But I can't imagine laying, you know, 130, 140 miles of pipe is going to be anything cheap. And so we need to partner with somebody that's got some deep pockets that, you know, needs this water. And not so much the water, but they need water that's always there. Our water is really reliable. You know,
I would think the wine guys would be some of those, or any of the agriculture guys, because, I mean, that is their livelihood. It's not throw a brick in your toilet. Okay, yeah. Fine. Yeah, that's not that crowd.
Yeah, but the urban customers pay a lot more for their water than the agricultural customers. So we're looking at to enter into a contract with another municipal water district, hopefully in the North Coast region.
So you could call it the Art Bowley line?
The Art Bowley
line. Since he worked on both ends?
That would be a good one.
That'd be cool. They had to do something for Art, because he really kind of started a lot of that.
He was a great general manager, and we all miss him. Yeah. Enjoyed working with him.
Yeah. I'm sure he's laughing, looking down, going, yeah, right, way to go, Papstein. A little statue at each end of So the studies are being done, and you're hoping that you'll get a little bit of an insight in the next couple months or so?
Yeah, we'll have an idea of, you know, how much would we have to charge per acre foot? You know, how much would it cost? You know, what's the investment in that kind of infrastructure? I mean, we're doing a lot of infrastructure replacement and upgrades, and it's expensive stuff. And we've been going after every available grant we can get, so, you know, we save our ratepayers having to pay for this infrastructure, because when it was built, you know, in the 50s and early 60s, we had two deep pockets out there on the spit that were helping us pay for everything. And so, you know, we didn't get money from the federal government to build our system. It's entirely paid by local people.
I'm sure the state is just, well, with all that surplus, this would be something I'm sure they'd be willing to step up, a little interest free. Okay. Thanks for coming by. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Alderon Lehrer. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.